Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode where I'm joined by Dr. Kendall DeLoach with Audra Walsh Psychology Group here in Tampa, Florida. We're going to be talking about how to handle co-parenting, especially when the dynamic is not always the easiest to get through. But let's just get the quick definition out of the way. When you say co-parenting, what does that typically look like between parents?
It can look like a lot of different things currently, right? And everyone's going to be on a different journey in what their co-parenting looks like. Some people are going to have more trauma, more conflict, more betrayal in the past that kind of impacts how they're able to co-parent. The goal is to have cooperative co-parenting where the focus is on the children. And the focus is on the needs and the emotional development of that child, right? If you think of even like, and this is something I tell clients too, is think of in a business, you work with colleagues, you have a common goal within that business, right? And you're going to come up with some ground rules for how to interact with one another to get to that goal. That's the dream, to be able to say, okay, this is my teammate. This is my colleague. We're not going to call them colleague, but this is my partner. This is my teammate. And we're both using these really respectful, cooperative practices to best meet the needs of our child.
So what do you find a big mistake that unhealthy co-parenting dynamics can make? Like when you don't like one of the other parent or one of the other, if you don't like the other parent, or maybe the other parent doesn't get along with you, what are some of the things that can typically come up that don't lead to that goal being met?
The really biggest thing that impacts children's development in a negative way is the hostility and the arguing and a conflict that they see between parents. It's a huge buffer. It's also a really big resilience factor if parents can cooperate and be amicable with each other. So yeah, that arguing, the bitterness, even like the side things that a parent might say in the presence of their child, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe your mother did it, right? Those things really have a negative impact, not only on the child, but also on, and studies have shown, it also has a bad effect on your own unique relationship with your child. So by being amicable and cooperative within your interactions with the other parent, you're also protecting your relationship with your child, which is also going to impact your mental health. So it's good for everyone to do that.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the people that are tuning into this episode are in the camp of, okay, well, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that relationship is compatible in some way, or I want to make sure that goal is met. But sometimes I feel like maybe it's a one-sided effort. How do you handle that dynamic where you're really on the page of, let's do what we have to do, and the other person is maybe a little pettier?
That's when honestly, having a third party, having a mediator can really, really help. You can certainly model and try to kind of set the stage and kind of be the bigger person, if you will, and have that collaborative approach. Almost, okay, this is my colleague, and here's the things we're going to do. We're going to, we're going to be respectful with each other. We're going to be on time. We're not going to ask each other about their private lives. Almost like, saying, here's where I'd like to agree on some ground rules for both of us, and making that clear. The other person might, with that clarity, with like, okay, here's how we work together, might be able to say, okay, yeah, I'll do that. But if not, and you're continuing to see, no, I'm going to still be spiteful, I'm still going to do this, then a third party mediator. In fact, there's a lot of studies that show in those types of situations, a mediator can really be a really powerful, positive force on the divorce process and the children's healing. So it's definitely worth the time and the resources to get that.
I could imagine it would be really tough for, as the kids getting older, to keep them out of the middle, because you get a little bit older, you have more of a communicative relationship with your kids. Maybe you slip out a couple of things, in passing. So how do you keep healthy boundaries with your kids so that they don't end up in the middle of something they shouldn't be?
I mean, honestly, it's a lot of self-control on our parts, right? We live with our kids, right? And so if we're having a really hard emotional moment, the temptation might be like, okay, this happened. or your father or your mother said this, right? And have that self-control and have your go-to person ready who you can talk to about those things. It cannot be your kid, right? And so maybe you have that best friend, maybe you have a parent, maybe you have, someone who is going through the same thing and you can have those frequent meetups. So that's going to be huge. So yeah, that self-control. And then if you now some older teens are curious, right? They might ask questions, right? And I hear sometimes parents say, well, I don't want to lie, or like, I want to tell them truth. You don't have to tell your kid everything. In fact, really think through how is this going to impact their relationship with the other parent? You really want to keep that in mind.
So when that isn't reciprocated from the other parent, where maybe you're following all the rules and the boundaries, and you're thinking, I don't want to say this about the other parent, how would you recommend handling it with the kids if the other half of the co-parenting relationship is bad-mouthing you in the home and creating more of a hostile environment?
Again, a mediator, a third party, is definitely going to be able to keep reins on that, and then document, you'll be able to document everything, right? And that's going to be kind of better controlled through a third party. That is super hard though. And if the damage has been done already, and with your kid, you might say, your mother, your father's going through a really hard time, and you might find them saying some things that you probably don't need to hear, or maybe it isn't necessarily true. And I'm sorry about that. But that's a really, really hard one. That's something that we, if you find that happening, you're going to want to get legal assistance with that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, that's
I mean, I get it. Co-parenting is tough. And I think when it's done well, it can be healthier than if the two parents were in the home to begin with, because there has to be so much communication and so much thought put into your relationship that maybe sometimes is breezed over if, you're all in the home together. But I'm hearing you say the word mediator a lot. So are you recommending like a therapist get involved to help, work through some of these conversations?
There's different people out there. So there are therapists who serve as parent coordinators, and they're able to have the partners there and say, okay, let's create a really good parenting. They're not attorneys, right? But they do can consult with the legal team, but they also have a therapeutic background, which is helpful. But then you also have attorneys who also serve as parenting coordinators. So they've got the legal background, but they're also trying to help with that personal coordination and that not healing necessarily, but like, let's put the pieces together. What is this going to look like? So you can go either way, and I myself have worked with both kinds, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that they're hearing this and this sounds great and it's easier said than done, right? Can you give them a vision of what a healthy co-parenting relationship would look like? And what's something they can do today, this week, that can be that first step towards getting towards that really healthy co-parenting goal or relationship?
If we're already in a lot of conflict, you're probably going to need someone to help. You're probably going to need a third party. So, but I'm going to focus on what you individually, this person can control within themselves, right? Because that's usually it starts with us. Right. And that is if you have unresolved anger or trauma from the divorce, please get help. Please help yourself heal, because anger that's unmanaged leads to a lot of destruction. Anger is healthy and it's normal, right? But it can really cause a lot of hiccups and a lot of damage if we don't do something about it. And it's going to end up impacting your relationship with your child and everyone. Focus also your thoughts on your child's needs. What does my child need right now? If you can answer that question, that's going to lead you to be able to give ideas, give solutions to your partner and say, here's my idea for how to address this. And be open to their ideas too. But if you really focus on that common goal in mind, you're more likely to have the productive conversation. If you start out with, remember 10 years ago when you didn't, right? It's not going to lead to anything. You might start the conversation with, I have a concern about this behavior that I'm seeing, or this our plan for the next 3 months in regards to this. Here's some solutions that I have. Can you share with some solutions that you can think of? I really want this conversation to be focused on the child and their needs. So that can help. But all again, it starts here and we'll work this on.
Well, for those listening that are feeling just really discouraged about their co-parenting situation, what's some advice or just words of encouragement that you would give them to help springboard them along a little bit?
Just read some research that for 80% who end marriages, the anger and the conflict gradually decrease within 2 to 3 years after the divorce. That's a huge chunk of parents who are going through divorce, right? So if you're not seeing it now, it's most people are going to experience that reduction in conflict and anger. Sometimes just naturally without doing anything, right? It takes our time for our bodies to heal from that. For 8 to 20%, the conflict stays high after that amount of time. So if that's you, that's where you're like, maybe I do need help. Maybe I do need that third party. But if you're within the first 2 years, first 2, 3 years of this, take care of yourself, right? It'll probably get better. The researcher is telling us that, and that's hopeful to me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Kendall Deloach, joining us out of the Tampa Bay area. You did great. Thank you so much for all your help today.
Of course.